Rachel. And thank you, Sue. And thank you, Jen, for that, for our readings. Jen got a longer reading. That was because we're starting a new series looking at the book of Acts. And we'll be doing this for the next few weeks. And our Acts readings are therefore going to be a little bit bigger and jumping around a little bit through a given chapter, just so that we get a feel of the story. This is all the story of Acts is about how the early church began, how the Spirit was at work, and how the Spirit and the church dealt with changing times, which was true for them then. And as we go through our lives and as we go through the life of our community, there are also changing times. We can always learn from the book of Acts. So it's a good book to be following, a really exciting book to be following, actually. We had the beginning of it there, written to Theophilus, who it's actually written by the same person who wrote the book of Luke. Many of you will know this. And if you read the beginning of Luke and the beginning of Acts, they both start with a little bit that says, not exactly, hey Theophilus, it says, most excellent Theophilus. So Theophilus was probably an official, and Luke was somebody who'd been a Christian for a long time. Theophilus had become a Christian, and Luke says, I'm going to write you these things so that you can understand it all. And he wrote the book of Luke, and then we have the book of Acts, which we'll be working our way through. And the book of Acts begins with Ascension, which is where we began our reading after that little introduction. Actually, also, as Rachel mentioned, we were here on Thursday evening. We know when Ascension happened. It was 50 days after Jesus rose, and so it always happens on a Thursday. And we often talk about it on the Sunday afterwards, for those who weren't able to get there on the Thursday. So we have the Ascension, and also in our reading this morning, we have the appointing of a new apostle after Judas left the apostles. And so we have the appointment of Matthias to become apostle number 12, or to keep the number at 12. I don't know what number he was. Maybe it's alphabetical. But we also had that reading from John, which we've just heard. And I love that reading. It's one of those times when Jesus amazed people. Who is he? Isn't this amazing? Look at the things he's saying. We don't expect this from him. And he hasn't had any learning. One of those times where if you were there, you would have thought, wow, there's something special going on here. And Jesus is telling people to come to him and drink. What a strange thing in one way, but also a wonderful image. Come and receive living water. Jesus talks about living water, and he says rivers of living water will flow from within you. Wouldn't you love to have the life of God flowing from within you? That's what Jesus promises. It's a wonderful image, and it's a wonderful God who chooses to have us, his people, being part of his flow, of what he's doing out there. His living water flows in us, flows to other people, and his kingdom grows. But for those of us who were in Israel just recently, and I'm afraid you might hear that a few times as we go through this, when we talk about living water, I bet you will as well, remember the story of Jesus by the well with the Samaritan woman who he talks with about living water. Well, we went in a change of plan. We actually went to the place called Jacob's Well, and it's been known as that for thousands of years. So it really is the place where Jesus stood and sat, and he met a Samaritan woman, and they talked about water, and he talked about her getting some water out of the well, but actually the water that he could give was living water. And it was amazing to be there. And actually, I'm going to give you a little taster. I'm not sure there's going to be any sound on this, but that well is real, and Jen's phone was real, and she recorded some stuff. So here is the moment. Now, this well no longer looks out in the open. It's no longer in a field somewhere. It's got a church built on top of it, as they do with everything that they want to remember and have done. Because it's all happened like 200 years after Jesus was around. People built churches. This is a very old church, maybe not that old, but here, I hope, is there's a well. And it's got an amazing handle that you turn. And I got to be the lucky one who turned the handle. It's very heavy once you lower that bucket down, 40 metres under the ground. And then you wind and wind, and this rope comes up. And there's a knot near the top which says the bucket is nearly there. So there is water from the well that Jesus sat next to when he talked to the woman from Samaria about living water. And it's good enough to drink. And so there it is. And that was just a little clip, but hey, it's one. That is not the living water. The living water is what Jesus brings. But that water was very special to drink or to just be near because you thought, wow, this really is a place where Jesus was. It's fantastic. Back to today and the first chapter of Acts and Jesus providing living water. And also, this is the Sunday after Ascension, as Rachel mentioned, where we are in the middle of the Thy Kingdom Come prayer movement that is not only us talking about this, it's churches around the country talking about this, it's churches around the world talking about this. We are in a time of prayer in the world. And join in, well, I hope you are, and take the opportunity to continue to join in with other people across the world praying at this time. And we're going to do things a bit differently this morning. Here I am talking to you, but actually I'm going to stop sooner than I would normally in a moment. And after talking a little bit about Acts, we're going to have an extended prayer time and make use of some ways of praying which are a bit more creative than we normally have the opportunity to do. And those of you who'd like to can get out of your seats and make your way to different places around the church that I'll explain in a moment, or else you've actually got what's happening on one of the white sheets you've got, so you can sit there and imagine or decide which one to go to. We'll be doing that in just a bit. But I want to start with the Ascension. And there it sits at the beginning of the book of Acts. It's very important, this, the Ascension. In fact, Luke himself, in writing Luke, decided to put it at the end of Luke, and then he put it at the beginning of Acts as well. So twice he tells that story because it's so significant. There's a much bigger sermon that could be preached on the Ascension, and Rachel preached some of that on Thursday. But I'm going to borrow, probably badly, from Rachel a couple of things that help us think about the Ascension. The first one is some clouds here. This is just in a moment. Look, there's Jesus, and there's the clouds. And in a moment, when he'd finished talking to them, we turn around to face you. Oh, he wants to face me. There we go. Oh, he's still facing me. Yeah, come on, Jesus, turn around. He was dancing all the way, and he went up into the clouds. The clouds hid him from their sight. This is for later. There we go. But what Rachel talked about was a coin trick, which she claimed not to be very good at, and then seemed pretty good at. I'm going to also claim not to be very good at. This is when you have a person who knows how to do this, and they have a coin, and say, "Look, here is a coin." So here we have the coin. And that's like Jesus being there. Jesus was very definitely there. When we went to these different places where Jesus was, we realized just how long people have remembered this spot and that spot and said, Jesus was here. Jesus was amongst people. And he was there with them. They knew him. His friends would have known him. They would have been with him day by day. They would have seen the things he ate, they would have enjoyed the things he enjoyed. There he was on this earth, and people realized that he was something very special. People followed him, and they learned from him, and they walked with him, and they talked with him in places that you can still go and see today. Very definitely, Jesus was real to people. He was there. And then, other times, he wasn't there. Suddenly, there was no coin. Suddenly, Jesus wasn't around. Now, when he was in his ministry, in the years of his ministry, there were times when he wasn't there. There were times when people said, "Where is he?" Like in the John reading today. "Where is he?" They couldn't find him. Or there were times when he didn't stay. He was in a town, but he said, "Let's go on to another town." There were times when he was over the other side of the lake. There were times when he wasn't there, when people were looking for him. And then there was the time when he wasn't there because he died And his disciples probably thought that was the end. But actually it wasn't, as we know. And so he wasn't there, and then he appeared again, and he was with them. And actually, we know that Jesus spent all that time with his disciples. I love the bit of the reading today which says he taught them many things. They taught about the kingdom of God. So Jesus was there with his people. Sometimes he was there and sometimes he wasn't. And certainly after he rose again, there were times when he was there and then he wasn't. He was on the road to Emmaus and then he disappeared a bit later. He was not in the room and then suddenly he was. He was by the grave all of a sudden with Mary. He was on the beach all of a sudden when people were fishing. And he was teaching and he was helping the apostles to believe in many convincing ways, as we heard at the beginning of Acts, that he was alive. And he told them amazing things that he had done. But the ascension was a time when really he did disappear from earth. He wasn't there. He wasn't with them anymore. And you might say that this would have been an awful time for them. And yet it was amazing because Jesus had taught them. Jesus had explained these things to them. And in Luke's gospel, we read that when they went away from the ascension, they went away joyfully because they realized that something amazing was about to happen. Jesus said, "Wait, I'm not going to leave you on your own. Now, if you are a very good magician person, you can have the coin disappear, and then all of a sudden you'll go up to somebody and you'll say, "Oh, look," and you'll say, "It's behind your ear," and suddenly it will appear from behind their ear. There is the coin all over again. Well, actually, though Jesus is no longer physically walking on this earth, Jesus is very definitely with us, and more amazingly than before, in a way, because by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is able to appear in our midst, and not just in one place, but with each of us. Jesus, what is God walking with us? He was God on earth. And that is amazing. And to be where Jesus was would have been amazing. To have met him in his ministry, or even met him after he rose again, that would be absolutely amazing. But actually, what is all the more amazing is that, like some amazing magician who can say, "And here it is, and again, here it is," and suddenly there are lots of places where there are coins appearing from behind people's ears or on the floor or wherever it is, actually Jesus is with us everywhere. And his ministry continued because he went out by the Holy Spirit through the disciples and continued the amazing mission. He had been in one place, in one time, in one region of the Roman Empire, but because of ascending to heaven and sending his Spirit, he is able to be with us wherever we are, whatever year it is, whatever part of the world we're in, whatever situation we're in. Jesus is with us. And that's amazing because Jesus is also a God. And Jesus is reigning on high. And Jesus is the one we praise. And through his Spirit, he is with us each day. It's absolutely amazing that he is with us like that. The King and the Creator of the universe, through his Spirit, is with us all the time, every day. That's wonderful. And because of that, we have a mission. We saw the mission being given to Matthias to become the 12th apostle. Actually, everybody who was part of those early disciples was part of a mission. But Matthias got to be making the numbers up to 12 again of the apostles, and a very significant role that was in it all. But just like they all had a role, we all have a role. God's call is to all of us. We have things that we can do. So like Matthias being appointed as the apostle to replace Judas, we have things that God calls us to do. Some of them are very much your thing. Because you are who you are, God has got something particular for you to do. And some of them are our things as a church. God calls us to be people of compassion, people who love justice, people who pray as well. And at this time, as we think of the season we're in, where people across the country and across the world are praying, we're going to do some more praying now. Part of our calling